Heavenly Father, Lord, we are told, Lord, in your word, Lord, to remember, Lord, to reflect, Lord, to thank you for all that you've done. Lord, as we think of the past year, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, and we do remember, Lord, just all those that have placed their faith in you, Lord, the baptisms that have taken place. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you've especially worked in the lives of our young people. Lord, for them to grow in their faith, to know you, Lord Jesus, in some new ways. Lord, we thank you for how many have served and helped, Lord, both inside the walls of our church, but Lord, so much that takes place, Lord, the text of encouragement, Lord, the follow-up, the meal. Lord, we thank you for all of these things. Lord, as we move into this new year, Lord, we ask that we will trust you more, grow in our faith. Lord, we ask that as a church and Lord, individually, that Lord, you will use us, Lord, in our community, in our families, with our friends, Lord, to have an impact with the gospel. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you made any New Year's resolutions? Do you have any goals for this new year? You know, when I think of resolutions, I usually like to have a couple that I kind of put in place, but it did get me thinking of that phrase, it's easier said than done, right? And so I came across some resolutions that some people had shared online. I thought these were fairly humorous, and so I wanted to share them with you. Maybe you can relate with some of these folks, all right? The first one is this. This person said, I'm totally going to stick with the gym and exercising this year, like for real this time, right? That's easier said than done, right? The gym I'm at, it has exploded in popularity and growth. I'm gonna give it about a month and see if we kind of get back to normal, all right? How about this one? I'm gonna floss every day and not just with wild abandon before my next cleaning, right? I am guilty of this one, right? They're always getting on me for this. And I forget, I remember like the day before and I try to do all this stuff and then they're like, did you floss? I'm sorry, I apologize again. How about this one? I'm gonna remain in control of my emotions with my spouse and my kids, no matter how crazy they make me. How'd that go this week with the snow, right? Anybody fail on that one? All right, this person said this year I'm going to read more, or at least turn the subtitles on during a movie, all right? That's how they're gonna get their reading in. This one kind of hits close to home. It says, I'm not gonna scroll on my phone for 3 hours every night and just zone out, all right? We shall see, all right? One person said this, I will stop Googling symptoms, right? Anybody do that? You're watching the movie, something's hurting, go, I think I need to check this out, right? That person, they're done with that. And then how about this one? Another said, I'm gonna stop making lists that require me to make more lists, all right? They're done with that. So they're just a few example of things, maybe easier said than done. But let me give you one more, and this is kind of where we're headed with this sermon series, and it's this. I will trust God no matter the circumstance, right? I will trust God no matter what takes place in my life. That's easier said than done, right? You know, it's easy to say we trust God. We can even sing, right, and praise the Lord that we trust God, but in the difficulty, does it remain? When we have to wait, right? We think God should answer some things in our life, and it takes longer than we think. Will we continue to trust God? Can we continue to trust God? And that's what we're going to be looking at as we do this new series in the book of Genesis. Now, I say new series, it's really a continuation of Genesis. If you remember back in the fall, we went through Genesis chapters 1 through 11, and we looked at the big events in those chapters. And so that was the big events of the creation and the fall of humankind. We look at the flood and the Tower of Babel. So if those are the big events, as we move to Genesis chapter 12 and it goes through chapter 50, we're going to see some big personalities in Genesis. We're going to look at Abraham and his wife Sarah. We're going to look at Jacob and Joseph, all these big personalities. And I'm looking forward to this series because I think you're going to find it very practical. This family, though, the Lord uses them to bless the nations, to bless us. The reason that we are blessed and know Christ is because God used this family. But they have some problems, right? There's some drama in this family, and I think you're going to find it very practical as we go through this. And this morning we begin with the life of Abram, or Abraham as he's better known. And just kind of want to clarify this, that Abram means father. Abraham means father of many. And when we get to Genesis chapter 17, he's given this new name by the Lord. So I'll probably use Abraham most of the time, but in the reading, it will say Abram. Just kind of want to give you a heads up on that. But also his wife's name is Sarai. Her name's going to be changed to Sarah. So again, kind of a similar situation with their names, and just want to be kind of clear on that if you're new to the Bible. But Abraham, he is a great character to study when it comes to trusting God. He is held up as the father of the faith. He had said of Abraham that he is a friend of God. But we would be mistaken if we think Abraham always had it together. What we're going to find as we journey through his life is he has these high moments where he is very faithful to the Lord. But he also has some very low moments that affect generations of people. See, Abraham exhibited great trust in the Lord, but it was not always 100%. His trust would kind of ebb and flow. And I find that so encouraging because in my life, maybe you're the same, I imagine you are, that there are times where you have great faith, you do great things for the Lord, but there's other times because of fear or worry, right? The circumstances of life, they just get so heavy that we kind of shrink back. And our trust falls. And this is what we see with Abraham. And so I'm excited for this study. I think you're going to be encouraged by it. I think you're going to be challenged by it. As each of us sets out to grow in our trust in the Lord, no matter the circumstances we'll face this year. And so this morning we begin with Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 9. And we're going to break these verses into three parts. And we begin with this. We find Abraham's call and the promises of God. Okay, verses 1 to 3, we read this. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." As chapter 11 of Genesis is coming to a close, we are introduced to Abraham's family. And again, in those first 11 chapters, it's those big events that take place in the world, the flood, the fall, right? The Tower of Babel. And what we see over and over is just these negative experiences. And this really kind of comes to a head with the Tower of Babel episode, where the people gather and they create this tower. And the reason they are doing this is because they want to make a great name for themselves, right? They're rejecting God. They're rebelling. Humankind, once again, is rebelling against God. And God, in both his grace and judgment, he says this cannot continue. And so he confuses the language of the people, and they're scattered across the earth. And we might say as we read this, it just seems to be the same thing over and over and over again, that God would just be done with humankind. But even going back to the fall, where Adam and Eve sin and rebel, God makes this promise to them that there will be an offspring, right? Kind of the terminology we would use. There will be a Messiah who we know is Jesus Christ, who will bring salvation. And so God made that promise to them, and God is not going to end that promise. He doesn't give up on us. And so the focus as we end chapter 11, as we move into chapter 12, is it begins to narrow on this one family. This family who the father of this family is a guy by the name of Terah. This is the father of Abraham. And as chapter 12 begins, God calls Abraham to go to a land that he has never been before. Right? He's never been to this place. And he says, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through you, salvation will come to all peoples." Now, we might ask, why would God use Abraham? Right? There doesn't seem to be anything in him that makes sense of why God would use him. Okay, so you might think, okay, God's going to continue this plan, this promise that he has. You know, it would make sense to us to say, you know, I kind of need a younger-ish couple. That's who I'm going to use. But what we find with Abraham and his wife Sarah, Abraham's 75 years old. His wife Sarah is 65 years old. Okay, so that kind of seems to be one strike against using them. The other, we find this at the end of chapter 11, is that Sarah is barren. She cannot have children. And so if the Lord's going to have this blessing where all these descendants of Abraham, you would think he needs to have a child. But he has no son. He has no heir. That's the second strike. But let me add a third. And I think this would really cause us to say he's disqualified. And it's that he worships false gods. See, what we find even with the flood account is that God goes to Noah, and Noah, we're told, is a righteous person, and God uses him. But we don't find this with Abraham. In fact, when you go to the Old Testament book of Joshua in chapter 24, we find this. Joshua is speaking about Abraham and his family. And he says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, they lived beyond the Euphrates River, and then listen to this, and they worshiped other gods. Abraham's father is Terah. That means moon. And what this is a reference to is the false gods, at least one of the false gods that Terah and his family worshiped, and that was the moon god. See, Abraham is all wrapped up in this, and so we're going, okay, this is three strikes. This guy should be out. They're old. They have no children. They can't have children. He comes from this pagan background worshiping the moon, but yet God chooses to use him. Why did God choose to use Abraham? I think the only answer that makes sense is God's grace. God, in his grace, wanted to use Abraham. He wanted to bless Abraham to be a blessing to other people. See, we would look at the issues that Abraham said, all these things he has, and say, you know, he's not a good candidate. But yet this is who God chooses to use. And we find this throughout the pages of Scripture. I mean, think back to our Christmas study, right? God, through the angel Gabriel, goes to this old couple who could not have children, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and through them, John the Baptist would come. We think of Mary, this young teenage girl from this place that people despise. She was overlooked. And this is who the Lord uses. And I want you to know in your life right now, God may be calling you to something. And you may be thinking, I'm disqualified. I'm not a good candidate. But what we're to draw from this is God chooses who he chooses. And God is choosing you. He wants you to take a next step of obedience for him. I want you to think back on your salvation. Was it because of you that God gave you his grace? No, we're told in Ephesians that by grace we are saved, nothing in ourself. There was nothing God looked at and said, you know that person? I think they'll believe. No, God, the Holy Spirit, moves and works in our hearts, quickens our hearts, changes our hearts so we can accept him. And God does that in that moment of salvation, but it continues throughout our life. And so again, right now, this call of Abraham, God may be calling you to something and you're going, no. You're pushing back. You're hesitant. You're coming up with all these different reasons. And God's saying, no, I want to use you. This is what he does with Abraham and with Sarah. But not only do we find this call of Abraham, we find the promises that God gives him. What we find, and you can look at the screen here, is there's seven statements. And so there's a number of promises, but also a response, an invitation that takes place. And so we find that God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. He says, I will bless you. I will make your name great. These are all promises. But then the fourth statement is this, that Abraham will be a blessing. This is an invitation to Abraham that if you believe my promises, you can bless other people. We continue the fifth and sixth. We find that Abraham is told this, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And then there's another response, that all peoples will be blessed through you. See, as this progresses, as Jesus Christ comes, this is the descendant promise to Abraham, that all those that put their faith in Jesus will be blessed. And so there's an invitation by Abraham, will you follow? Will you heed this call? But we also have a response. Now, Abraham is in a very unique position. He's given these special promises, but yet what Abraham is told here applies to us in this sense. See, Abraham, he's obedient. We'll see this here in a moment. And God uses him to bless other people. See, Abraham receives all these promises, all these blessings, but it wasn't just for him. He was to use that to bless other people. And this is the same with us, that we've received amazing promises and blessings in our life, and those are great for us, and we need to reflect on those and thank the Lord for that. But we have those blessings and those promises to be a blessing to other people. So we think about the security that we have in Jesus. We think about our identity is found in Christ. We think about and reflect on how God has been generous to us, and so we need to be generous to others. There was a young lady, she was sharing her story about how she was just so nervous to share the gospel with a friend of hers. You know, what would they think? What would they say? Right? Would her reputation maybe be damaged? And then she began to reflect that her identity is found in Jesus, that she is secure in him. And so people may say things, and yes, it could be hurtful, but her ultimate identity was found in Jesus, and so then she shared. She invited that person to church. She shared the gospel with her friend. Another example of a couple who wanted to be more involved, and they sensed the Lord telling them to be more generous financially. And this would be a great step of faith for them. But God laid that on their heart. And they remembered how God said he would provide and how God had blessed them. And so they took that and they blessed others financially. There could be many other examples given. But one of the things we are to pull from this is Abraham was blessed and he blessed others. And you and I have been blessed greatly. And because of that, you are to be a blessing to other people. As we continue, we not only find the call and the promises of God given to Abraham, we now move to the obedience of Abraham. Look with me at verses 4-7. We read this, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan as they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him." What we find here is that Abraham steps out in faith. He trusts God's promise even when he did not see the full picture. In verse 1, Abram is told to go. In verse 2 and 3, Abraham is given the promises of God. And then in verse 4, we are told that he went as the Lord told him. I want you to look at the screen, kind of see the travel path that he went. He was in this area of Ur of the Chaldeans, kind of the modern Babylon, that area roughly. He went up to Haran, and then he went down to Canaan. I want you to think, maybe you've had to kind of leave your family and all that, just the emotions with that. I can remember for college, it wasn't, you know, I went 3 hours away. It wasn't, you know, that far. But yet I only had one other friend, and I can remember sitting in my dorm that first week like, man, this is a pretty big decision. Maybe for your job, you've had to move and leave most of your family. I know many of our military families face that on a frequent basis. See, this is what Abraham's having to wrestle with. And let's kind of admit, when you get older, it gets harder, right? You get more settled, you got your friends and all that. But Abraham sets out. He goes. And I don't want you to miss this. He goes to the land of Canaan, but he'd never been there before, right? He didn't know of this place. You know, it wasn't like Abraham could pull up on his phone, you know, Google Earth and kind of check it out before and say, you know what? This looks like a pretty good place. I think I'll head out there. No, we're told in Hebrews that Abraham went without knowing where he was going. What a tremendous example of faith. I love this definition of faith, or we might say trust, by Kyle Mercer. He says, faith is taking God at his word and taking the next step, right? Faith is taking God at his word and taking that next step. See, I want you to see the progression with Abraham. He's told to go. He's given these promises. Then he goes. And then when he gets, in verse 7, we're told, then the Lord appears. Do you see that? Go. The Lord says, here's the promises I have for you. Abraham goes in obedience. And then when he's in the land, this is when God shows up and explains more and shows more. See, you and I, we tend to kind of want to have all of our questions answered, right? We say, okay, to become a follower of Jesus, you know, what do I have to give up? What's it all going to look like? You know, we kind of do the SWOT analysis, maybe the strengths and weaknesses if I serve or do this or that. But that's often not how God works. God very rarely gives us all of kind of the answers that we have. But instead, he wants us to take one step after another, one little step and another one. I love what we find in the book of Psalms. We're told that God's word, or we might say his call on our life in this instance, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Does anybody have that family member that just loves flashlights? Anybody got that person? I don't know. I have that person. Like they love flashlights. And maybe that's you. I don't know. And, you know, you got all these different ones, and one of them is so bright it could light up a city, right? That's kind of how we want God to work with us. But in this psalm, we're told it's a lamp that would have not been very bright, maybe just a few feet out in front. So on that path, as it's dark, but just a few feet in front of you, you could take that next step and that next step and that next step. I want to ask you, what is God calling you to? What next step does he want for you? I would imagine here today there are some that have never taken that step of crossing what we call that line of faith, where you go from an unbeliever to a believer. And I know that's a big decision. And there are a lot of questions you may have. You know, what's it mean for my relationships? Are there things I have to give up? And as a church, we want to try to help answer those as best we can. But there will come a point where you have to make that decision. I don't know everything. I don't know where God is leading me, but I put my trust in him. Maybe for you, it's baptism. Now, we don't believe that baptism saves a person, but yet it is this powerful symbol and picture of what Christ has done for us, that our sins have been washed away, that we have this union with Jesus, that as he died and rose in that water of baptism, again, that picture, we are buried to our old life and we are raised to a new life, that when we die physically, we'll raise and be with him for all eternity. And I know it's nerve-wracking, and maybe that's keeping you from taking that step of obedience. But I would encourage you, trust the Lord. Follow him in that. Maybe for you, it's a specific ministry. It could be inside the walls of our church. Maybe it's something that the Lord is calling you outside the walls of our church. Maybe it's something in your family that you and your spouse are just kind of, it's tough. Or maybe parent to kids or teenagers to parent. There is a next step the Lord is making clear to you that you need to repair that relationship. And it's hard and it's difficult. It's messy. But the Lord is clearly saying you need to take that next step. Right? The list could go on and on. But what is the Lord calling you to? What next step is he calling you to today? And again, we won't be given the full picture, but we have to trust the Lord. The light that he's provided, that lamp unto our feet, we keep moving forward, trusting God. And then thirdly and lastly, we find Abraham's worship. I'm going to go back to verse 7 and read through verse 9. We find this. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Twice in this passage, with this call of Abraham, we find him worshiping God. But as God appears to him and says, "This is the land for your offspring," Abraham builds an altar to the Lord. As he continues to travel in the land, he builds a second altar, and we're told he calls upon the Lord. He worships the Lord. Now, this was not just some individual kind of act that Abraham did and set up some small stones, and then off he went. No, people would have seen that in the surrounding area. Those in his household would have known what he had done. And what Abraham is making clear is he follows and trusts God. Remember the background he had come out of, worshiping these false gods. Abraham is saying, Lord, you are the one I follow. Lord, you are the one I trust. And one of the natural things that responses that comes when God blesses us and we see his grace so clearly is we thank him and we praise him. We worship him. This is what is taking place in Abraham's life. And so as we think of 2025 and how we want to grow in our faith and grow in our trust and that next step that the Lord is calling you to, you know, one of the things, we could leave it here and we could get excited and off we go. But my concern would be about a month or two in, we falter, right? It's just kind of a sense of duty and it doesn't last. But what will last and what lasted in Abraham's life through all the ups and downs that he had, when he trusted, when he did not trust, is he continued to go back to the Lord and to worship him. See, the motivation for us to take that next step, to be obedient to the call that the Lord has on our life, is to worship him, is to reflect on his grace that he has so clearly revealed in our life. We look to the cross of Jesus Christ. See, as we look to the cross of Jesus, as we look to the promises of the Lord in our life, this is the fuel, this is the motivation for us to continue to trust him. And you and I have such a greater advantage than even Abraham, right? Abraham, he's just these steps he's taking, and it's a great example for us, but he did not see Christ yet, right? It was being revealed to him slowly. But we have the great advantage to look back through the pages of Scripture and how the Lord has blessed us, how the Lord has been faithful, how the Lord so clearly at the cross demonstrates his great love for you. And so if you're wondering, can I trust him? Should I take that next step? You reflect on what Jesus has done for you, how much Christ loves you, and how he is with you today. All those that place their trust in Jesus, their faith in Jesus, we are told the Spirit of Christ lives within us. And that keeps us going. That keeps us motivated. That keeps us worshiping the God so we can take that next step. I want to ask you if you'd please bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I just want to give you some time to reflect. I want to ask you, what next step is the Lord calling you to? For you, is it that decision to follow Jesus, to turn from your sin and put your faith in him? Maybe for you, that next step is to get serious about some sin in your life. If there's something just tripping you up, and it may be pornography, it may be gossip, maybe a harshness in your spirit, the Lord is saying you need to let go of that. You're not going to have 100% victory day after day, but yet the Lord is saying, follow me, trust me, take that next step. But you got to begin today. Is the Lord calling you to something that is just great anxiety? There's fear. We're told to cast that upon our Lord Jesus. And if your heart seems dry to our Lord, reflect on his kindness and his grace. That Jesus came to this earth for you. He gave of himself for you. And he lives to give you peace and to be with you. If your spiritual life right now is dry, reflect on his goodness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this example of Abraham. Lord Jesus, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you that you're real, Lord. Lord, increase our belief. Lord, increase our trust. Lord, help us to take that next step. Lord, whatever you're calling us to, Lord, with our family, our friends, work, whatever it may be, Lord, help us to trust you. Help us to grow in that. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.